The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. It is Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday, which have been purged by the communists a long time ago. They purged Washington and Lincoln from our vernacular and gave us only Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Next, it will be Cesar Chavez Day. And then before long, it will be a gay day, but no more Washington and no more Lincoln. So call it President's Day, if you will. Here's what we're going to talk about. I saw an article over the weekend which says Jamaicans lead Caribbean calls for Britain to pay slavery reparations. They want reparations from slavery days in Jamaica. 10 demands for Britain, France, and Holland, including funds to total billions, an apology and assurances slavery will never be repeated. Now, you know this is a shakedown. As you well know, reparations are nothing but a gangster criminal demand along the lines of Al Capone. Because if you're going to start talking about reparations, I'm going to start talking about reparations. So let's talk about reparations, which I call rape-a-nation. I call reparations rape-a-nations. Now, if they want someone to sue, they must start with the families of the African tribal leaders who sold their own people into slavery in the first place. Capiche? In other words, there were African tribal leaders who were the original slave traders, and the original slave traders they worked with were Arabians. The Muslims conquered various regions of Africa, became slave traders, worked with African tribal leaders who sold Africans into slavery. So I would say if you want rape of nations, go to Arabia, go to Kuwait, go to the nations in the Middle East and demand reparations. See how far you get with it. See if they'll take your garbage. See how they'll deal with your garbage demands that you can only hear on MSNBC. It makes as much sense to demand reparations from people who had no connection to the slave trade going back six generations. No sense whatsoever. Now, where does the search for rape-a-nations end? Can the French sue the Italians for Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? Can the Celtic peoples of Britain sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Angles and the Saxons? Can the tribes of Central Mexico sue the descendants of the Aztecs for the tens of thousands of murder victims at the hands of Aztec priests? Where does this search for free handouts in the guise of equality and fairness and reparations end? When you hear the word reparations, what you're hearing is a criminal gangster movement trying to pull off an international shakedown on a worldwide scale. And the people looking for reparations should be arrested as the gangsters and grifters and con men that they present themselves to be. So I will ask you today on the Savage Nation, do you believe Britain should pay reparations to descendants of slaves in Jamaica? Do you believe America owes reparations to all of those poor black people in America? Now, even though you never owned a slave, your father never owned a slave, your grandfather never owned a slave, there are those in this country, the communist left, that would like to see a race war, a civil war, by triggering reparations. And that's why you're hearing inequality, fairness. Every day of your life under Obama, you're being fed the garbage about inequality when we have the first black president, the first black attorney general, a large swath of the federal government run by African people, and yet we keep hearing the same old Animal Farm lie that there's an oppression and a racism. It's going to move to reparations as sure as I'm sitting here, because that's Obama's next card in his deck, is the reparation racket. So where do you stand on the rape-a-nation issue? The phone number on the Savage Nation today is 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I have a slight technical problem today. I may not be able to hear you. Not because I have anything wrong with my hearing, but because I work on President's Day. There's no engineers in the studio at KSFO in San Francisco, and your voices are going to sound like Mickey Mouse to me. I can't hear them at all. all I hear is somebody on laughing gas. Somebody set the wrong button, and no one can find out which one, who set what button how. You follow what I'm saying? So you'll have to bear with me. I'll do the best I can for as long as I can as I take your calls on this or any other topic. And while you're dialing on the Rape a Nation topic, I realize it's hard for you to talk about this topic because you haven't heard it on any other show yet. I tend to do topics that interest me, not those that interest other talk show hosts. I want you to go to the top of michaelsavage.com, and it says, Behenna's family relieved after inconceivable ordeal. Falsely accused Army Ranger to be paroled. And that was a big show on Friday. I was the only talk show host in America that went to bat for him that I know of. I mean, maybe others did. I don't know anything about any other host or what they may have done. God bless them if they did, but I doubt it. I think those who have talent on loan from God are only interested in Gulf Streams rather than in Army Rangers who were falsely accused and imprisoned in Fort Leavenworth. But I'm telling you that that's a big story. The mother thanked all of you for your great support for Michael. He's not out yet of the woods. He was paroled from a sentence for killing an Al-Qaeda terrorist. And here we are. 855-407-282. We then have the climate change gangsters, the criminal element like John Kerry, who is pushing the big lie of climate change and daring to say that anyone who says the science doesn't support it is a new Flat Earth Society member. Now, the first rule of science is that there are no absolutes in science. That's something that Mr. Kerry probably didn't learn at the ketchup farm. There are no absolutes in science. Science is a constantly emerging field. Any field of science is constantly emerging, and it's open to new evidence. But when you have demagogues and ideologues who are also tied in with the gangsters in the solar and such industries, what you have are people saying anyone who disagrees with them is this, anyone who disagrees with them is that, and the world's going to come to an end. So he goes to Indonesia and says things that you cannot believe. Listen to clip one on the Savage Nation.
Terrorism, epidemics, poverty, proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, all challenges that know no borders. The reality is, climate change ranks right up there with every single one of them. And it is a challenge that I address in nearly every single country that I visit as Secretary of State. Because President Obama and I believe it is urgent that we do so.
Okay, so there's John Ketchup Kerry attacking anybody who disagrees with him as being somewhat of a lesser than a human being. Listen to clip two. It gets even more insulting and more idiotic.
We should not allow a tiny minority of shoddy scientists and science and extreme ideologues to compete with scientific fact, nor should we allow any room for those who think that the costs associated with doing the right thing outweigh the benefits. There are people who say
shut
it's
up.
Expensive.
Shut up, you liar. Get Lurch off my show. There's only so much I can take of him. Because legitimate climate scientists are slamming the lies of Obama, Obama's false science czar, Kerry's insulting pseudoscientific rambling on global warming. Two of the best scientists in the field say it's nonsense. And we can come out to deal with that on the show. So we have two or three topics in the air right now, and I'm hoping we can get an engineer who's listening to the show or somebody in the network to call an engineer to KSFO Studios, because I cannot hear the sound I'm playing, and I cannot hear my calls. So what I'm going to do is ask you to keep calling. And we're hoping that during the break that we get an engineer to come in on President's Day, because if I can come in, surely they can come in. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Finally, we continued our close consultation on Iran. We agree that a nuclear-armed Iran, a threat to the region, a threat to the world, and potentially an existential threat to Israel. And we agree on our goal. We do not have a policy of containment when it comes to a nuclear Iran.
Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, how did he become a hawk all of a sudden? How did Obama, the dove, suddenly become a hawk? He's talking about alleged use of chemical weapons in Syria. He won't stand for that. He's talking about the potential nuclear armament, nuclear armed Iran. He won't stand for that. When did he suddenly become a hawk? How did this happen overnight? People were screaming about this a year ago, 2 years ago. He wouldn't say a word. And so I go back to the article by Goldman that I read earlier. The Russians think we're wrecking the world on purpose. And some of the blog comments are really brilliant. You know, people are so smart. And somebody wrote this. The Russians just need to remember what Arnold Toynbee once said about America. Quote, America is like a large friendly dog sitting in a very small room. Every time it wags its tail, it knocks over a chair. Nobody can write like that anymore. Another one writes, their confusion, meaning America's confusion, appears as incompetence, but it's not really that. They beckon and mime mindlessly as the strings are pulled. Puppets never know the full mind of the master. That's eerie. How can all the leaders of the U.S. be so stupid as to leave the country unguarded and cater to their enemies? One idiot is expected. 10 idiots is reasonable. 100 idiots is a calamity. 1,000 idiots is a conspiracy. Someone else writes, yes, it's about time everyone realized that there truly are fanatical and committed enemies of the Constitution inside Washington, not just dupes or idiots. Okay? I mean, people see what's going on. What explanation do you have? Is the administration a combination of malice and incompetence? Something is wrong with this picture. For Obama to go from a dove to hawk, literally overnight, is worrisome. It's a talk radio show. I'm not a government official. After all, I don't even teach at the Kennedy School of Government. I'm not as brilliant as most of those tenured professors at the Kennedy School of Government. Why ask them their opinion? 855-400-7282. And then the elephant story. I mean, it's not related to any of this at all, but there's something wrong in the world right now. There's a malice. There's an evil. The Pope had it right. There's an evil raging across the globe. So the article says, poachers in Chad slaughter 86 elephants, cut out ivory. Now, anyone could say they love dogs. Everyone's copied me on dogs and radio since I started it 18 years ago. It's easy to love a dog. I love dogs. Okay. You're not going to hear Rush Limbaugh or any of his followers ever talk about the elephant slaughter for one reason. If they did, you would know that they were following Michael Savage. So even though the cause is good, and even though all people should get behind this, conservative and liberal alike, you will never hear a Republican stand up and say, save the elephants. You won't hear it at all because it'll mean that they were listening to Michael Savage. And that's a shame. Isn't it a shame? No one came to my aid when they banned me from England. No one will come to the aid of the elephants, even though they call themselves animal lovers. Nevertheless, poachers in Chad slaughter 86 elephants, cut out ivory. The International Fund for Animal Welfare, by the way, which is the group that I support, reports that poachers in Chad slaughtered 86 elephants, including 33 pregnant females, in less than a week, and hacked out their ivory. IFAW says it's the worst killing spree of elephants since early 2012, when poachers from Chad and Sudan killed as many as 650 elephants in a national park in Cameroon. Elephants in Central Africa continue to be under siege from unscrupulous poachers, the killing, blah, blah, blah. About 40% of Africa's elephant population, 17,000 elephants were illegally killed in 2011. 17,000 were killed in 2011. And there's a report called Elephants in the Dust, the African Elephant Crisis. So what are they doing? They're training enforcement officers in the use of tracking, intelligence networks, and innovative techniques. I've gone a step further. I have funded those trained. Technical glitches, which are fixed now. I hope you can hear me perfectly fine on this President's Day. We're going to go back to the main topic of rape of nations, because everywhere you turn, you're hearing about inequality, poverty, and now we read over the weekend that in Jamaica, the nation of Jamaica, not Jamaica, Queens, they're demanding reparations from Britain and Holland for the slave days. Now, the fact of the matter is, you're going to hear this in America again. It came up years ago. It's going to come up again. Everywhere you turn, every headline is about race under Obama. And when you hear the word reparations, don't sit there and blink like a deer in the headlights and be afraid that you're going to be accused of being a racist if you stand up to the gangsters who are demanding it. It's just another tool of criminality. It's another tool of criminality. Because as I said to you earlier, where do reparations begin and where do reparations end? If you want to get into this reparations business, then you have to start with the families of the African tribal leaders who sold their own African neighbors into slavery through Arab slave traders. You see, the Muslims invaded Africa, conquered Africa, and became the dealers in slaves. They then used local African tribal leaders to round up, I guess, men and women and children and put them into that abominable situation of slavery. But to demand that Americans now pay for reparations is ludicrous. It's only because we're weak. It's only because we have no leadership. It's only because we have no one standing up for us that the gangsters in this shakedown game can get away with even demanding it. And I'm telling you, it's time for that discussion. If we don't dig in and form a firing line right now, we're finished. They're running all over us. They're running all over us. And they're winning. Because we have no one speaking for us. If you care to comment on the Rape of Nations topic, on the Savage Nation, 855-407-282, let's go to Curtis on WMAL. Curtis, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, first of all, it's very refreshing to hear your voice in this cesspool of the town of D.C. I believe that we are already paying reparations and will be continuing to pay reparations through affirmative action.
How about welfare? Would you say welfare has something to do with reparations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's affirmative action. It is the handouts, the government.
You say taking jobs from qualified white people who have higher grades, for example, and giving them to non-white people is a form of reparation?
Absolutely.
Well, let's stand up and fight, because the fight is on. They declared war on the white middle class. That's what Obama and Holder's game plan is. I know dictatorships. I know how they work. That's their game plan. They've declared war on the white middle class.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Join the Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, 2 till 3. On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
All right, let's start the show again for Monday, February 17, 2014. We've come through the technical glitches, thanks to the crackerjack guys who work for me. And we're talking about two major topics. One is this shock that in the nation of Jamaica, the island nation of Jamaica, there are gangsters leading calls for Britain and Holland to pay slavery reparations. Now, this is not the first time I have heard about this. I've heard it here in America from the usual suspects of the people in the civil rights racket. They rumble about it every once in a while. And it's going to come up here in America very soon because Obama's playing every dirty card he can deal from under the deck. Any dirty card he can pull out from underneath the felt, he's going to pull out. And the next one's going to be the reparations card. Now, here are some facts before you call me on the Rape a Nation topic. Start with the Arabian Peninsula. Sue the Saudis. Sue those in Kuwait. Because they were the ones, their ancestors, invaded Africa, conquered Africa, imposed Islam on Africa. And the first thing they did was round up slaves through African tribal leaders. So you could go to some of the wealthy African tribal families. You could go to the Arabians if you want to demand it. But would that really make sense? Would that really make sense? Would reparations go to the ones directly injured? Would reparations from the Arabians or the British or the Dutch actually come from the ones who did the injury to the poor Africans who were enslaved? They're going to be made guilty of a crime they didn't even commit. And then they're going to be paid to those who were not directly injured and are generations removed from the crime. Now, slavery is about the worst thing that can happen to a man. There's not much worse that can happen to a man. It's a complete and total loss of their humanity. There's nothing worse. But remember, the Irish were enslaved. The Scottish were enslaved and enslaved each other. The Celts were enslaved by the Dutch. And the Julius Caesar invaded Gaul, conquered the what is now known as France. Can the Chinese and the Poles sue the Mongolians for Genghis Khan's onslaught? Can the various Indian tribes of central Mexico sue the descendants of the Aztecs for the tens of thousands of murder victims at the hands of Aztec priests? Where does this search for free handouts in the guise of fairness and equality and reparations end? As far as I am concerned, the whole issue of reparations is nothing but a shakedown by a criminal gang on a massive scale, and the people looking for reparations should be stopped by a legitimate president, because they're nothing but grifters and con artists. But I'm bringing it up today because it came up over the weekend. It was in the Telegraph UK. Jamaicans lead Caribbean calls for Britain to pay slavery reparations. It's an interesting article. And the fact of the matter is, you're going to hear this more and more. You're going to hear people wrapping themselves in the guise of being a victim of slavery, who they themselves never suffered from it, but they'll say that their ancestors did. The fact of the matter is, you have an opinion on this, I am sure. Because right now, you should understand that Representative John Conyer, emphasis on the first three letters of his last name, Representative John Con, Jr., introduced a study to Reparations for African Americans Act. He actually introduced the act, Representative Con. And he established a proposal for African Americans to be just compensated by those who never ever kept a slave. So how could this possibly be happening? How could this be happening at a time when African Americans have achieved unprecedented progress, where the president is of African descent on his father's side, the attorney general is of African descent, everywhere in the federal government there's equity and parity, for sure. And I believe that the disintegration of the African American community has much more to do with the disintegration of the family structure than the continuing legacy of slavery. And I would blame the disintegration of the family structure on Lyndon Baines Johnson and his Great Society, who replaced the father and the local African-owned business with the government. It's a well-established fact that's been proven to be true, that before the 60s, before the so-called Great Society initiative of that demagogue Lyndon Baines Johnson, there were tens of thousands of businesses in African-American communities, which soon disappeared when the government started to hand out money like it was being printed, because it was. So this is a very important topic. This is not a joke. This is serious. We're living in very vile times, which are going to become violent times, because Obama makes up his own rules as he goes along. What would you do if you woke up? Listen to what he's done. He wrote new rules saying schools can't suspend bullies because it's racist. It's racist to suspend bullies because too many African-American people of African-American descent are being disciplined. It's not that they caused any trouble in the classroom. It's that they're being picked on because they're black. That's what the federal government has said. So now under Obama, schools can't suspend bullies. Now under Obama, they're forcing the worst of the poor people into middle-class zip codes in order to destroy the middle class even further. They're recreating the mortgage crisis. It's all based on Saul Alinsky's principles on how to conduct a stealth revolution. And I am warning you that you're going to wake up one day and you're going to start hearing the discussion of reparations. And I don't think there's anyone who's as capable of discussing this topic as I am, for a number of reasons. And the primary reason is enough is enough. Someone has to draw a line in the sand and say, this is the end of the story. No more. These are fighting words. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. They're going to trigger a civil war in this country as sure as I'm sitting if they keep this up. And that's the last thing we want. I told you that I study revolutions, and I have studied revolutions. I have studied dictatorships since I'm 18 years old. It's one of my hobbies. It's not my specialty. My specialties were in other fields. I have studied revolutions. I've studied dictatorships. I know how they work. And what's emerging in this country is a stealth dictatorship, step by step, day by day. Right now, we have a Congress that's nothing but a rubber stamp to the new dictatorship under Obama. It is nothing but a rubber stamp. When you hear an occasional mouthing from Ted Cruz or this and that, they have no power whatsoever. They are allowed to speak only because it gives the semblance of an opposition party. There is no opposition party. We have a rubber stamp, the same type of rubber stamp that existed in Germany in the mid-1930s. At that point, the rubber stamp had been completed. There was still a parliament in Germany in the mid-30s, but it had been so overwhelmed by the power of the new government and so neutralized in every way that the German parliament had become a rubber stamp. So right now we have one of those elements called a rubber stamp. There is no opposition party. What Obama, the Martinet, does next is anyone's guess. There seems to be no constraint upon his narcissism and his egomania and his desire, frankly, to destroy the society and remake it in his own image. This is going to be a disaster for everyone. Nobody's going to win from this except him and his cronies. Make no mistake about it. Nobody wins from this. And there's going to be more on this from me as the months go on, because my new book is called Stop the Coming Civil War. It's going to be out in October. You can't buy it. I shouldn't even be talking about it, but it seeps out of me every day. I'm obsessed with the topic. Because of my studies in revolutions, social upheavals, and the emergence of dictatorships, I'm obsessed with the topic. And I can't stop talking about it because it's everywhere I turn. I'm agitated by what he is doing. Everywhere you turn, every headline, there's an attack upon white people and the white privilege. Everything is a lie. It's a lie, a giant lie. And everyone's looking for a reason to demonize and attack the heterosexual Christian white male, the new demon. They're being attacked the same way the Jews were attacked in Germany. I know you're not going to believe that, but remember, the Jews were not attacked and put into concentration camps overnight. At first, they were demonized by Hitler's regime. It took a long while before the railroad cars started running to the camps. I'm warning you that unless you stand up to this vicious lie, which began in academia, is now seeped onto MSNBC, it's seeping everywhere you turn, this attack on whites, unless you stand up to the racists who are promulgating this lie, anything is possible. I'm warning you. I'm warning you that it's time for you to put down your idiocy, put down your stupid hat, take your hat on backwards and put it on forwards and say, that's the end of the road. You're not demonizing me anymore. Go to hell. That's it. That's my opinion. And I've given you only one man's opinion. Today the topic is rape of nations, because it came up over the weekend. Jamaica is now demanding that Britain and Holland pay slavery reparations. You say, well, on the surface of it, gee, that makes sense, because the people living in Jamaica are descendants of African slaves. Gee, they're poor. And the slave trade was horrible and genocidal. And more than 1 million people were imported from Africa to Jamaica alone. So they owe them money. Britain should pay billions of pounds for the sins of their fathers. Right? That's what the left wing is demanding. That's what the socialists are demanding. So when you keep hearing, Clinton and the others in the international New World Order mentality speaking about inequality, they're getting you ready for the reparations discussion. It's a way of robbing from the middle class to give to the poor. They're certainly not going to take it from George Soros. Are they going to take those reparations from General Electric, Microsoft, Google? Are they going to go to Google, Microsoft, and say, you know what, you guys make so much money, you pay almost no taxes, you use the double Irish method to avoid taxes. Okay, we want you to pony up billions of dollars. And we'll funnel it through some honest reverends like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, because you know how honest they are. They won't take any for themselves. They won't fly first class. They won't buy silk suits. They won't have lavish dinners. No, they're honorable men. Very honorable reverends. So we'll let them handle the fund, the slush fund. And we'll make sure it's distributed, in an honest way. That's what you're going to hear next. So this is getting serious. They're going to say to you, if you oppose paying reparations to African Americans for slavery, you're a racist. That's what's going to happen. It's going to trigger hatred like I've never seen in my life. It's time to put a stop to this. I'm warning you, this white privilege talk is going to lead to something incendiary. It's got to stop. Now I'll take your calls. I'd like to hear your opinions. Let's begin in New York City on WABC. Thanks for listening to the Savage Nation on this President's Day, Arthur. And what is your opinion, please?
I enjoy your show. Hello, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But I want to ask you, I want to make one minor correction. The president was never a dove. Do you remember when he was campaigning, he said the first thing he wanted to do was go in and bomb Afghanistan. Well, but my topic is reparations. I'm confused by the subject. But in your eloquent dissertation, did you fail to admit the fact that so many European Jews are getting reparations? How do you feel about that? From the Holocaust, that is.
Well, I have mixed feelings on the reparation racket in Europe, and I'll tell you why. Those who were directly affected by the looting of art, for example, should have the art returned. Let's start with the obvious, correct?
Yes.
But I'm a little concerned about the way the German government had been shaken down over the last 40, 50 years, and I've said so, by the way. I felt it had become a racket. In fact, I have a lawyer friend who's Jewish himself, who has gone to many of these reparations trials of the Germans to the Jews over many years. And he said it had become nothing but a shakedown racket where the only people being enriched were the lawyers. Does that answer your question, Arthur?
Yeah, one last thing, too. You were once a radical, weren't you?
Well, I was also once a child. I also once drank only milk.
When you're young, you're idealistic and you'll give away everybody's thing. And as soon as
you're... That's right. When I was a young social worker, that's what I believed was true, correct. I was once a young social worker on the Upper West Side of Manhattan when it was still a slum, and I was a bleeding heart liberal because I didn't know any better. And then when I found out that the welfare recipients were working the system and actually living better than I was as a college graduate, sort of a light bulb went off in my head, and that was the beginning of my education. Okay, Arthur, thanks for the call. Look, it's a Monday. Most people are, for some reason, entertaining themselves today somehow. I don't know how. If you care to talk about the Rape a Nation subject, the phone number is 855-407-2822. You give me 15 minutes, and I'll... Listen, there's no better radio show right now in talk radio for discussing ideas. There's not a better show on... I'm going to tell you right now. Maybe there's some talented people out there. There's not a better show for discussing these hot ideas. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What's interesting to me is that John Kerry goes to Indonesia to lecture on climate change or whatever he's calling it these days. I don't know what the current flavor is. And talks about how a tiny minority of shoddy scientists are all wrong because they even dare question the whole premise of global warming. The interesting thing to me is not only that he continues the big lie and won't listen to the evidence, any evidence to the contrary, is that he's conducting this in Indonesia. Indonesia is a very interesting place. It has, I believe, a very large population. I know it's a Muslim nation. It began with a mosque being built by a Chinese quite a while ago, and then the Islam spread through the Indonesian islands, the archipelago, and it's a very large population of people. But did you know how many Chinese were killed in the 1960s? Do you have any idea how many Chinese were killed by the Muslims? Do you have any idea about that? Ever hear about that? Didn't know about the killings under Suharto? Never heard about the killing of the Chinese in Indonesia? The riots in Indonesia? The purge of the communists, so to speak? 1965 massacres, the anti-Chinese riots, during which thousands of ethnic Chinese were slaughtered, probably unknown by most people in America. Very big story, killed more than 500,000 people. Nationalistic sentiment, and it was an Indonesian purge against suspected communists, many of whom were ethnic Chinese. It was compared to the 1937 Nanking Massacre, where Japanese troops killed an estimated 300,000 Chinese. And so there were many, many atrocities in 1965. So when you hear about victimhood again of the Indonesians now, you know, it's so laughable. How can every nation on earth be filled with victims simply because they're in the third world? How can every third world nation be victimized by something when they themselves are responsible for massacres and victimization? It goes back and forth. Again, here we are talking about reparations being demanded and what you think about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have a really exciting initiative coming up called My Brother's Keeper. Explain it, because when they're explaining it to me, it sounds amazing, but I'd like to hear it from you.
We're going to pull together private philanthropists, foundations, working with governors and mayors and churches and nonprofits, and we're just going to focus on young men of color and find ways in which we can create more pathways to success for them.
I'm speechless at the naked racism of our president. He is now singling out one race and saying he's going to put out a new initiative to help young men of color. And listen, the name of it is called My Brother's Keeper. It's almost a parody of itself, how obnoxious this is. He told it to some fool on television I never heard of, another bootlicker, that he wants to create special programs only for blacks. He wants to expose young men of so-called color to career options that could pay as much as $35 an hour. And Obama went on to say, did he say more about across the board from the time they're young all the way to their first job, we want to help more young African-American men and Latino men succeed, he said. I ask you, what about the young, poor white man looking for a job? Where are the programs to help the young, poor white man get a start in the world? Where are the mentors and the interns for poor white kids? Martin Luther King Jr. once said, I have a dream that one day children would live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And yet we have a president who is of such low character that he turns Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream into a nightmare and wants to help only young men of color, spitting in the face of, I guess, people of non-color. And then he went off on a golfing trip with a billionaire. After giving a speech on inequality, you're lying, twisted. I can't take this anymore. One of these days I'm going to actually tell you what I think about him. I think that he's demonic. I personally think that Obama is a cold-hearted, psychopathic, demonic man. And I believe he has the worst intentions imaginable for this nation. Other than that, I will spell it out in a long book in October. I'll give you my evidence. So he talks about my brother's keeper for only for people of color, boys of color, Hispanics, Latinos, African Americans, but white men need not apply. A president could do a thing like this? And then he goes off golfing at a private golf course owned by Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison is worth $41 billion. Larry Ellison has a house amongst many that sits on 249 acres. It has its own golf course. And so after talking about inequality, Obama goes and golfs with Larry Ellison. And there it is. Then he gives you another speech on inequality and goes to another party or another vacation. And his only friends are the 0001%. And this is what the Democrat Party is the best they can do. It's a party of demagogues and grifters. Now, let me add why I say grifters. Did you hear what came out over the weekend? No, you didn't hear it because it didn't make it to your local worthless newspaper. Democrats who oppose Keystone Pipeline own shares in competing companies. Disclosure documents show that Democrat Tim Kaine and Democrat Alan Lowenthal are invested in Keystone competitors, which is why they oppose the Keystone XL pipeline. And you don't know anything about that. You don't know anything about Kinder Morgan, the Trans Mountain pipeline, the competitive pipeline. You don't know anything about that. And you don't know how deeply gangsterish the Democrat Party has become, because it didn't make it to your local your local party rag. The party rag. But let's go back to the big topic, which is rapinations on the Savage Nation today. The reason I'm talking about rapinations is because it's come up again. The Frankenstein of rapinations has come up again. The nation of Jamaica wants rapinations from the British and from the Dutch for the abominable horror of slavery. And make no light of slavery. It's the worst thing you can do to a man. However, to now go back six generations and say, you owe it to me? So who's going to benefit from it? Those who were not enslaved, and who will pay for it? Huh? Who will pay for it? Those who never held slaves. So where does this begin and where does this end? So if the gangsters in the reparation racket want to be honest, what they have to do is sue the Arabians in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the other Gulf nations, because it was their ancestors who conquered Africa and then used African tribal leaders to sell their own people into slavery. You can then go after the wealthy African leaders, because I'm sure they're the descendants of the African tribal leaders who sold their own people into slavery. And then get back to me about asking money for reparations here in America. It makes no sense. It's nothing but a gangster regime involved with this. It's a shakedown game. They're grifters, con artists. But if you have a difference of opinion and you feel guilty about slavery somehow, you can call me at 855-407-2822 if you want and talk about it. It's going to come up. These topics are going to come up, I guarantee you. And I'll take your calls right now on the Savage Nation. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Christina, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. You are a breath of fresh air. I would like your take on the upcoming event in Wisconsin that's talking about white oppression, and they're inviting people to come in and speak, and the voters in Wisconsin might end up paying for the whole thing.
Okay, when this kind of white attacks on white people continue in universities, you have to organize a grassroots effort to defund the university. You have to defund these vile, racist, ethnic studies programs. It's all coming from morons who never belonged in college to begin with. They created departments for themselves because they could never get into a legitimate department to begin with. Since they can't read or write English, they created ethnic studies as a department. Since they can't do chemistry or mathematics or physics or such, any hard science, they create idiotic subjects which they can excel in, and then they give themselves raises and et cetera. And so therefore, now in order to keep their business going, they have to come up with something new. So they've created white privilege. Defund the university. It's that simple. Thanks for the call. I can't do anything about it. It's as racist as it gets. It's right out of Hitler's playbook. Target the Jews? No. Now you target white people. Same mentality. In Hitler's Germany, they needed a scapegoat to blame all of the problems of Germany on, so they picked the Jews. Here, the left-wing fanatics are using people of color as their shock troops to target the white middle class. Any other questions? I have the answers. KCMO, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a Christian conservative who happens to be a male heterosexual, absent of any color, and I've always been against reparations, and I do believe that affirmative discrimination or affirmative action is a form of reparations, but I wanted to ask you, what would be wrong with doing the reparations just so we could get it over with? I mean, I'm afraid that 200 years from now, we're going to be saying he's just the 8th black president. She's just the 14th Hispanic Supreme Court justice. I mean, this thing looks like it's going to go on forever.
Because once you give in to terrorists, they never stop demanding. Once you give in to criminals who are shaking down your business, they'll own your business. You'll lose your business. This is criminality. Reparations and the demand for such are criminality. Look how far we have come as a nation after, what, 50 years of welfare? 50 years of welfare, 30 years of affirmative action, and now we're being told reparations are right around the corner? They're softening us up with this conversation about inequality? No, sir. You stand up to these terrorists now. You get this over with now. You tell them they're criminals. Get out of my face. That's your answer. That's what would be wrong with it. You give in to a criminal element, you lose everything. You give in to the gangsters, you lose everything. It's that simple. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Steve, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi, it's with regard to reparations, and specifically over the last 50 or so years, the U.S. government has paid the reparations with this welfare state. That is my only comment. Thank you.
All right, well, there you go. Some people feel that's true. Some people feel that's true. That's an argument that you can't argue with. The most effective legal argument against reparations, by the way, is that reparations have already been made. By abolishing the evil of slavery and giving ex-slaves full citizenship and voting rights, the original wrongs were remedied. And if you want to talk about reparations, let's talk about the white men who shed their blood in the Union Army to free the slaves. They left widows, they left children, they left mothers in order to fight for in the Civil War for the Union Army. Whoever paid them reparations, the poor whites of the South, for example, or of the North, for that matter, who fought in the Civil War to free the slaves. Why are we not talking about reparations for those descendants of the white soldiers? In addition to that, likewise, the racial and social injustices of Jim Crow laws were already atoned for in civil rights legislation, landmark Supreme Court rulings, which brought African Americans to full rights and citizenship. Our government has spent hundreds of millions in set-asides, maybe billions. Hundreds of billions in equal opportunity. Hundreds of billions in contracts and grants to minorities only. Affirmative action. To make up for the crippling effects of discrimination in order to correct this injustice. Is it not time to put it away after 150 years? Now, in addition to that, all parties affected by slavery had long been dead. Both the slaveholder and the slave. But there are rumblings to bring it up again. Incidentally. Okay, so it's coming. I'm warning you. I know how demagogues work because I've studied them. My most recent studies are about an Austrian who lived in Germany in the 1930s whose first name was Adolf. See, if I don't use his last name, you'll listen to me. If I say the last name, it kills the argument. People go berserk. Their brain tilts. It's like a pinball machine that tilts. You can't hear any of this rest of the conversation. I have been recently steeping myself in studying a man by the name of Adolf, who lived in Germany in the 1930s. And I found that all of his tactics of divide and conquer, I found out that he had turned the parliament of Germany into a rubber stamp. I found out what he did after he turned the parliament into a rubber stamp. And I am terrified that although we do not have an essay yet in the United States of America, just as the German military had been shrunk as a result of the Treaty of Versailles, and the SA, the stormtroopers, became a force greater than that of the actual military. Did you know that the brown shirts, the Sturmabteilung, SA, was a force of over 3 million men, that private army of thugs under Ernst Röhm, the homosexual murderer? Ernst Röhm was with Hitler from day one. He was a street thug, a tough guy. He happened to love men in that manner. He had a dueling scar, but that was his proclivity. And many of the leadership in the SA were of his, let's say, same orientation. You don't know that as well, but it's part of history. I'm not saying it to offend anyone. I'm just telling you that was their proclivity. And Hitler was afraid of the SA because there were 3 million of them, and the army of Germany was smaller. Now, Obama's been shrinking the military, firing the combat generals, and he promised us back in 2008 that he'd like to create a private army that's just as strong, just as well-funded as the military itself. If that day comes, I'm warning you what's following. And that's why I study revolutions, and that's why I study history, because those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat their history. You hear what I'm just saying to you? Many people in the Nazi Party disapprove of the fact that Ernst Röhm and many other leaders of the SA were at that time, homosexuals. You don't understand any of that. It's a horrible story, the Night of the Long Knives. But one day I'll tell the whole story here on the Savage Nation and what Hitler did to them on the Night of the Long Knives. Well, how hard is it? They were having a Bacchanal on an island in one of the lakes in Germany. The SA was. They're having a wonderful orgy, in other words. And Hitler had the SS cross the lake in rubber rafts, their faces painted. They were the special forces at the time. And they slaughtered hundreds of them and arrested the others. They got rid of the SA overnight. And then, of course, his old friend was then executed, Ernst Röhm. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
This is the most chilling speech of my life. A civilian national security force that's just as strong, just as well-funded as our military. Now, he's been purging the military of combat generals and of leadership up and down the line. He's been shrinking the military. Is he getting ready to create this civilian national security force? I don't know who will stop him. You? John Boehner? Clink's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? Eric Cantor? Eric Cantor's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him? We have a rubber stamp Congress, and we have a power mad maniac in the White House. There is no opposition in this country whatsoever, except the people themselves. So if you would like to see us the equivalent of a Sturm Abteilung grow in America, you know, God bless you, my friend, then you want Nazi Germany here. I don't think you would want that. Maybe you do. I don't know. Leftist socialists would like that. They'd like to see a purge. They'd like to see thugs given guns to go out and beat and kill people in the country. Don't think they wouldn't, because they wrote about it in the 60s. Obama's friend, the guy who wrote his autobiography, Bill Ayers, and his buddies, if I'm not mistaken, dreamed of a time when 30 million Americans would be slaughtered in order to make the revolution complete. You don't think that that could happen here? No. Can't happen here. Not with Twitter. Not with Facebook. Not with Instagram. But you see, if you're looking at some sluts behind on Instagram, you're not watching the bouncing racist ball. It's not golf that he's playing, my friends. Make no mistake about it. He just came out with an initiative for only for young men of color called My Brother's Keeper. And you don't see the irony of a program called My Brother's Keeper aimed only at blacks and Hispanic young men? White men need not apply? You don't understand that? You don't understand what this man is yet? No, you probably don't. You probably don't. I have other things I like to say, but it's a national show, and I'm working, and it's President's Day. This is not a canned show. It's live. Live. L-I-V-E.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage. KSFO.
Just want to hit this refrain. All could be California. I love this song. I really do. I got to tell you something. I need a little break from what I've been doing. It's not easy to do this 3 hours in a row, because we're living in very, very disturbing times with very demonic people in charge with a rubber stamp Congress where virtually anything could happen at any moment. We're all waiting for it. And, you know, so unlike everyone else, I mean, I need a break once in a while. So over the weekend, I have that old 1970 Jag XK, and I've been having it fixed up little by little. I never drive it, so this weekend it was hot in the San Francisco area, top down, driving around playing Beach Boys, and I didn't even buy it. It was from one of my kids' houses in a drawer. You imagine that? It was still new. It was like from a museum. And it was so wonderful to play it with the top down. You know that I was transformed to being back in college, driving around with the top down. I felt like a normal person for about 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, I actually felt like a carefree American. I enjoyed myself. I'm ashamed to admit I felt good for 10 to 15 minutes in a row. I forgot what it felt like. It was shocking. I'm not used to feeling good. I'm so used to feeling like on guard, on edge, waiting for the next shoe to fall. And it's worked for me my whole life. I mean, I'm on edge all the time. I don't complain about it. It's how I live. I know how to relax, but I'm saying basically my life is one of tension. I've learned to adjust to it. It doesn't kill you. It's a big lie. Many of you are so brainwashed, you think that if you feel tense, you're going to get a heart attack. The exact opposite is true. And by the way, I don't take any drugs. Yes, I drink at night, most nights. I take no drugs whatsoever. I'm on no medication. Zero. Zero. So I think we have a real fight on our hands, and we have to be very vigilant right now. I want to take a little digression for a moment. I was cleaning out a closet. I found something I want to share with you. Many of you will know what some of you will know. I have in my hand the Bronze Star from World War II, which was earned by an old friend named Herbert Sokol. And he gave it to me on a plaque. When I started in San Francisco on KSFO, I was a local host in 90, I don't know the year anymore, 96, 94, 94. I was still a local host by till the year 2000. In 1999, this gentleman who had fought with Patton became one of my greatest supporters. He was a huge man, big lumbering man. Well, he loved me. And he gave me this plaque with his bronze medal, which I dreamed. I said, where is it? I was thinking about all my possessions the other night because I'm trying to put them together. I said, what did I do with Herb's bronze medal? That's not something to lose. I found it. Let me read it to you. It's one little thing. To Michael Savage, the original compassionate conservative in love and appreciation, on behalf of all your dedicated listeners, for your fearless declarations of the truth on the Savage Nation, KSFO Radio, San Francisco, this bronze star awarded to Herbert L. Sokol, PFC, 115th Infantry, 29th Infantry Division, for his military exploits during the assault on Jülich, Germany, February 22, 1945, is hereby gifted to Michael Savage as his inheritance. Thank you, Michael Patton Savage, Herbert L. Sokol, June 6, 1999. It is really one of my most prized possessions. It's as though he were an uncle who gave it to me. Now, he died soon thereafter. He was a poor man, didn't have much. Some of you listening may have known him. And I only bring this to your attention, not so much to invoke any semblance of heroism on my part, because I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to show you that there are men who understand what's at stake, and they understand what's going on in this country. And he knew it then. He saw the socialism. He saw the socialists. Only I got news for you out there. We've lost. We've almost lost the battle. And I don't mean it's over yet, because nothing's over till it's over. But we're almost about to enter 1,000 years of darkness. There almost has to be a miracle to save this nation. That's how I see it. I had thought the miracle had occurred several times when Obama got caught in the scandals, when I saw the left turning on him. I thought maybe the miracle had occurred. But I haven't seen it happen yet. I haven't seen the impeachment move. The other night I was listening to a communist station here from Berkeley called KPFA. Its entire thing is left-wing fanatic nonsense. And here were two women talking about the fact that, I mentioned this last Wednesday, the U.S. press freedom had fallen to like number 42 in the world. And they were wringing their collective feminist hands over the fact that our press freedoms had fallen so badly that we were now number 42 in the world behind Uruguay. And I was saying, yeah, and I'm laughing. I said, but you girls did it. You girls did it to us. You gave us this man. You feminists were the original shock troops who broke down the white male hegemony. So we have this guy in the White House. And now what? You're complaining that what you created is a Frankenstein? But I didn't say it because I was in the car alone. The left created the Frankenstein that we have. And now they're complaining that our press freedoms have fallen. I was waiting for them to blame Nixon or Bush. You know, but they didn't. They went on and on. They didn't mention the word Obama once. They're in denial of what they've done to this country. Anyway, let's go back to the discussions here, 855-400-7282, on reparations and whatnot. Reparations and whatnot. Reparations and whatnot. Got to have such good callers. Kyle on WJR in Detroit, Michigan. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. You were talking about, you know, people turning on each other. This has nothing to do with the reparations, and it's in response to what you were talking about before the break. Obama and his people are tearing the nation apart by pitting the haves versus the have-nots, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to turn into Stasi Germany. People need to look it up. They don't know what it means. But everybody would turn their neighbor, their brother, their mother in for just a few bucks, something they wanted that they were being deprived.
Wait a minute. Isn't the IRS targeting conservative groups a little bit of that on a small scale, of using the government to intimidate a political opponent? Isn't that what Obama's done? Isn't that sort of out of the fascist playbook?
Yes, it is, but it's going to get worse. Your sister or brother or your best friend.
Well, wait, let's not get hysterical. Obama launched a new initiative called My Brother's Keeper, which is ironic, and it will only help young men of color and Hispanics. White young men who are poor need not apply. Tell me what that's about. Is that democracy in action? What is that?
No, it's not.
It's Obama continuing to divide young men of color against white men. He wants a racial enmity to build in this country. He's trying to use it to his political advantage. That's what him and Holder do on a daily basis, in my analysis. Am I wrong or am I right?
He hasn't helped the black guy get ahead. He hasn't done anything about Chicago. He hasn't done anything to make them take personal responsibility for anything. And that's how it all starts. Everybody thinks somebody owes them. Nobody owes.
Right, and when you have a demagogue in the White House, he feeds that sense of entitlement. He feeds that sense of entitlement. That's why we're living in such bad times. So, you know, stay tuned. I mean, that's my, it's one man's view, one man's viewpoint. That's all. It's one man's opinion. I realize it's not a, let's say, a common opinion. I realize that many of you don't agree with me. I know, in fact, some of you are offended. You probably believe that white people owe black people reparations. That's how brainwashed you are. You don't even understand the legal ramifications of what you're saying. WMAL, Washington, D.C. Marcus, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Hello?
Yep, we're waiting to hear you speak.
Am I on?
Yes!
Oh, I'm sorry. So, listen, you know, I'm from Washington, D.C. I am a Latino Republican. The only one that I, by choice, and I voted for Obama the first time, Romney the second time. And it's really at where we're talking, you know, which is really
far. Sir, have you made a cogent statement yet? I don't know what you're talking about. What's your point?
You know, my point is that, you know, and I get you're trying to pander to certain type of groups, but
I don't know what you're talking about. What are you saying?
You're pandering to a small amount of group of people in the United States that does not agree with this anymore. And I'm talking about Republicans.
I'm pandering to a small amount of people, and Obama, who says he's creating an initiative called My Brother's Keeper, where white young men need not apply, he's not pandering to a group. What is he doing?
You got to remember the reason that...
No, you're not answering me.
Is because
Obama has said he's creating an initiative only for young men of color and Hispanics. White men need not apply. Tell me what he's doing.
Black men and Hispanics are five times more likely to live in a single family with a...
Oh, wait, hold on. And I caused that?
And you have to have somebody there. To have
wait, sir, excuse me. That's not my problem. I didn't create that situation.
I get that, but it's not like we're paying out of it. This is not coming out of federal funds. This right here is to help minorities with single families who are five or six times more likely to be on a single family home than a non-minority.
Really? My grandmother was a single mother. No one helped her.
And I get that, but, you know, when you have...
My grandmother was a single mother. She worked about five jobs. My grandfather was an immigrant. I mean, no one helped him. What do I owe you and your people? I owe you something?
I'm a U.S. citizen myself, but you know what? When I came to this country...
Oh, but you're still giving me the rhetoric as though your people are oppressed and that we owe you something. That's what you're saying to me between the lines.
It's about being... Everybody needs an upper hand. When five or six times the same...
Sir, Obama says he wants to expose young men of color to career options that could pay as much as $35 an hour. You're telling me that that's not racist unto itself when he's excluding young white men?
Comments like this is making us Republicans look really bad at the mainstream.
Comments like what? What are you talking about?
Like,
comments like what? That I'm offended by Obama's racism?
It's not. You know what? If you were a minority, you would understand. That is not racism.
Yes, it is. It is racism.
You know what?
If you excuse me. If you exclude the white race and you only include young men of color, what do you call that?
Ronald Reagan had a similar...
No, don't change the subject. Try to use the few genes in your brain that are logical. Try to apply logic. If you exclude white boys and only include men of African and Hispanic descent, what is that called?
Ronald Reagan had a very similar...
Take a walk. I can see you're not capable of an adult discussion. You're a brainwashed fake Republican. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Today we're talking about rape of nations and Obama's continuous racial divisions. Over the weekend, he launched a new initiative aimed only at young men of color. White men need not apply. And ironically, it's called My Brother's Keeper. He wants to help young black men and young Hispanic men make up to $35 an hour as youngsters. And white boys can't apply. Special programs only for African American and Hispanic youth. Now, if you find that to be the mark of a Democrat, then you're insane. That's the mark of a demagogue. That's a divide and conquer demagogue tactic. Divide and conquer. Every dictator in history has used divide and conquer. And he's building up to something much bigger. Then we're talking about reparations. Because in Jamaica, the nation of Jamaica, they're going to sue Britain and Holland for reparations, the descendants of slaves. Now let's start with the reasons against reparations here in America. First of all, it's a bad idea for blacks and for everyone else, and it's racist on top of it all. One, there is no single group clearly responsible for the crime of slavery. The Arabs invaded Africa, conquered Africa, and then used local tribal leaders who were African to enslave the ancestors of African Americans. There were also 3,000 black slave owners in the antebellum United States. Should the descendants of those black slave owners also pay reparations? Secondly, only a tiny minority of white Americans ever owned slaves, and others gave their lives to free them. What about the descendants of the 350,000 Union soldiers who died to free the slaves? They gave their lives. Should their ancestors now pay? I mean, they were left destitute without a father or an uncle or a brother. Today, America is a multi-ethnic nation, and most Americans have no connection, direct or indirectly, to slavery whatsoever. Would you like Vietnamese boat people? Would you like Russian immigrants, Iranian refugees, Armenian victims of the Turkish persecution, Mexicans, Greeks, Hungarian, Cambodians, and Koreans, all victims of communism, to pay reparations to American blacks? Ask them how they feel about it. There are many other reasons. I'm just trying to give you the rational reasons for this insanity. And it's a shakedown game that has been played on the American people for so many years that it's getting to be old and boring. We have made reparations to African Americans in this country. Trillions of dollars have been transferred in the form of racial preferences and contracts, job placements, educational admissions, all under the rationale of redressing historic racial grievances. Now they want more. Now there are the gangsters who are trying to get more. And there will never be an end to this healing. This is just like, this is a shakedown, pure and simple. So let's stop right there. I've made my point. You're not going to hear it again until it comes up again. It's the one topic that got my attention because I couldn't believe that Obama would have the audacity to create a program aimed only at young men of color, so-called, called My Brother's Keeper. I mean, if you're writing a parody of a racially insensitive president, and he wanted to create a program to pander to children of African and Hispanic descent, and he called it My Brother's Keeper, you would say you couldn't do better than that. A scriptwriter couldn't do better than that to create a parody of a white racist. What if a white politician created a program called My Brother's Keeper, and he said white boys need not apply? What would they say of the white man president who created a program called My Brother's Keeper? It's apparent what they'd say. It's insulting. It's illegal, immoral. It's demeaning. Martin Luther King Jr. said that he dreamed that young children would play with each other, judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And here we have a president who's showing he has no character.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You have a really exciting initiative coming up called My Brother's Keeper.
Sure.
Explain it, because when they're explaining it to me, it sounds amazing, but I'd like to hear it from you.
We're going to pull together private philanthropists, foundations, working with governors and mayors and churches and nonprofits, and we're just going to focus on young men of color and find ways in which we can create more pathways to success for them.
Young men of color. Young men of color need apply. My Brother's Keeper. From Cain and Abel. Right to Obama. From Cain and Abel to Obama. From Cain and Abel to Obama. He's creating a program only for people, young men of color. These Obamaites are the most race-obsessed idiots in the history of the American presidency. They have created an illogical, indefensible program that nobody can ever predict will work for a couple of reasons. What exactly are men of color? Now, would that exclude Caucasians because they don't have color? So what do men of color mean? Does that include Hispanic men? He said so. Really? If Hispanics are included as men of color, does that include very fair-skinned Hispanic men? How about fair-haired, blue-eyed, Spain-descended Mexicans? Will they qualify? How about Spanish or Portuguese-speaking eighth-generation Argentines and Brazilians with German looks and names like Schmidt and Mueller who immigrate to the United States? Are they included or excluded? Because they are. After all, they're Hispanic. Or if it's only African-Americans, someone wrote, does that include black Aboriginal immigrants from Australia? Or are they excluded because even though they look like sub-Saharan Africans, they're genetically 100% Asian? So then if it's the African ancestry that counts to Obama, not how one looks, someone writes, how about 100% indigenous Africans who are also obviously white, such as fair-skinned, light-eyed native Tunisians? Do they count? Now you understand the can of worms that this race baiter has opened up here. He is the most dangerous demagogue in the history of the presidency. The minute you scratch the surface of anything he creates, now it's called My Brother's Keeper. You hear this? Just on the name of it alone? My Brother's Keeper. You should be shocked that you hear a thing like this. It should stun you that the man is so blind to his own words and so drunk on his own narcissism, so blinded by his own image, that he creates a program called My Brother's Keeper to help young men of color. And white men need not apply. It's a shock and a shame. But it's all part and parcel of him and Holder's divide and conquer mentality. Let's go to some callers on the one and only Savage Nation talking about an incendiary topic because we have to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about football. I'm not going to talk about baseball. I'm not going to talk about Monday morning what went on in the sports world. If the president's passing an initiative called My Brother's Keeper, I have an obligation to discuss it. Steve on WMAL in Washington, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
All right. Thank you, Doc. My comment is on My Brother's Keeper. To me, it only means that the government is just trying to replace the family unit. Our siblings, our extended family, etc. I come from a family of 9 Hispanic brothers, and basically we're all successful. We are individuals, and I don't like the idea of the government breaking into my family and telling my family how to behave.
Steve, do you know that the African-American community was much stronger before the Great Society initiatives of Lyndon Baines Johnson, who destroyed the black family? He replaced the black male with Big Brother, Big Daddy. And what happened was he decimated the African-American community with this liberal handout program, and now Obama wants to continue in the footsteps of the Great Society. But on face of it, it's racist. How can you exclude poor whites? In other words, if you say I want to help poor boys, whether they be of any race, whatever, I can understand that. But why are you excluding white boys? There are many poor whites, aren't there?
You're absolutely correct, and I wish to apologize for my comment. I was just looking at it.
No. Hey, I'm not at all challenging what you said. I hear your pride in what you're saying. I hear it. You don't need a government helping you. You can do it on your own. I heard you, Steve, and I respect that. My grandmother was a single mother. My father was an immigrant. You'll hear it again and again until you gag on it. I'll say it again. My father was an immigrant. He died at very young from whatever. Grandfather was the immigrant. A father was an immigrant, brought over 7 years later. Grandmother was a single mother on my mother's side. Poor people, hardworking, never took a dime in welfare. So I have very sensitive feelings about it. I wish that I could have had an easy ride. There were no scholarships for me, no special scholarships for me. No one said, oh, you poor, poor boy. Oh, you poor boy, your grandfather was an immigrant. Oh, let us help you. Let us help you. We're going to send you to the best universities in America so you can learn to be a degenerate at a faster pace than you did it at a city college. We'll give you condoms. We'll give you degenerate education courses. And we'll teach you how to be a lowlife as fast as possible. No, I didn't need that. Thank God I had to work, I went to college. I didn't like it. I hated it, as a matter of fact. I didn't enjoy it. I would rather not have worked during the Christmas holidays. I worked at my friend's father's clothing store in Jackson Heights under an elevated train. I loved working during the holidays. Everybody was cheerful. I didn't find it offensive. I would rather have been in Florida, the Caribbean. I would rather have gone to Jamaica or Hawaii, even golfing. I didn't know how to golf. In fact, I've never golfed in my life. To this day, I was a caddy once. That's as far as I got. But since I don't like grass that much, I gave up the sport almost immediately. Almost immediately. I don't like lawn games. I have an allergy to lawn chemicals and stuff. You don't realize that there's actually a health deficit to lawn games. It's terribly true. You know, there was a study. No, I don't want to go into the health side, but it's a subject of mine. It is 12:13 minutes after the hour on this President's Day on the Savage Nation. And things are getting more interesting by the day. The looniness of Kerry on climate change, saying anyone who disagrees is a bad person. He calls them a minority of shoddy scientists. Listen to clip two. This is moron, John Kerry. Listen to this speech in clip two.
We should not allow a tiny minority of shoddy scientists and science and extreme ideologues to compete with scientific fact, nor should we allow any room for those who think that the costs associated with doing the right thing outweigh the benefits. There are people who say, oh, it's too expensive. We can't do this. No. No, folks.
This is John Kerry saying any scientist that disagrees with the global warming thieves are shoddy scientists. Anyone who stands up to the global warming gang is an extreme ideologue. Anyone who wants to compete with scientific facts, with better scientific facts, is a bad person. So everywhere you turn in this administration, there's an extremely small-minded, Lilliputian martinet of the lowest order. I would consider Kerry to be a martinet of the lowest order. How he got this far is only a product of his meanness and his shrewdness. He's one of the meanest, shrewdest people on the planet, but he has no vision whatsoever, and he's a disaster for America. My only hope is that Kerry runs in the primaries against Hillary. That's the only God-given prayer that I have in the political arena, is that Kerry runs against Hillary in the primaries and they chew each other up. Oh, God help us if you think it's been bad under Obama. Oh, wait until Hillary's president, God forbid. If you think these years have been horrible, you have to understand that this young man in the White House has three more years left, and he's more invigorated today than he was 5 years ago. And waiting in the wings is none other than the Clinton machine again. You mean we don't know what to expect after 8 years of the Clintons? You mean it's going to be a fresh Clinton administration? It's not going to be the same thing all over again? We're not allowed to focus on what they did when they ran this country off the rails for those 8 years? We're supposed to make believe she's brand new? She reinvented herself? Well, okay, if that's the world you want to live in, go ahead. I can't stop you. Unfortunately, there is no opposition party whatsoever. When you say opposition party, think of Boehner in the cloakroom with another drink in his hand. Think of Cantor cowering underneath the desk, waiting for the teacher to arrive with a ruler to spank him with the ruler over his knuckles. That's the opposition leadership in the United States of America. They're nothing but a group of rubber stamps. Whatever Obama wants, they stamp everything. Occasionally to put up a little, argument here and there. You're going to tell me Ted Cruz can win? Yeah, no, sir, he can't win. I like the man. It doesn't matter to me whether he'll come on the show or not. I know he's in the camp of Ballbanger and the entourage. That doesn't stop me from thinking his policies are good, but he's unelectable. He's unelectable. It's that simple. But I'm glad he has a voice. So where do we turn? Where we turn is we take this on a day-to-day basis, and we educate and enlighten the public. And then in the midterm elections, which are coming up in November, we see if we have made any inroads. If we can win back the Senate, even with moderate Republicans, even with, I mean, of course I'd rather have revolutionary right-wingers take over the Senate. I'd give anything for a counterpoint to what Obama's done to us. I'd love 8 years of a right-wing radical regime running America. Wouldn't that be great to counter the 8 years of communism, to have 8 years of nationalism? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have 8 years of diehard right-wingers in every department in America undoing the damage and correcting the damage that he's done? That's what I'd like to see. 8 years of it, from education, you name it. We'd purge every department in this government. We'd purge them. If we had to, we'd impeach them and throw them out and clean this nation up and get rid of the trash that he put in. The left-wing trash in every department. Don't get me started on what I'd like to see done after 8 years of this slime creeping over America. A fish rots from the head down. Just remember that. And boy, do we have a fish that's rotting. Okay, I think I've made my point on this President's Day. The phone number here is 855-407-282. If I've offended you, then I've done my job. My job is to awaken you. I'm like the trumpet. I am like a biblical trumpet. My job is to awaken you from your slumber, to break through the anesthesia of the drugs that you're on, to break through the anesthesia of the liberal press, to break through the anesthesia of the brainwashing that you've been subjected to. If I have shocked you where you're uneasy, then I, like any great artist, have done my job. If you walk away from the show feeling too good, I've done nothing of any value whatsoever. Okay, go to michaelsavage.com and check out all the stories I missed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
An article over the weekend which says Jamaicans lead Caribbean calls for Britain to pay slavery reparations. They want reparations from slavery days in Jamaica. 10 demands for Britain, France, and Holland, including funds to total billions, an apology and assurance of slavery will never be repeated. Now, you know this is a shakedown. As you well know, reparations are nothing but a gangster, criminal demand along the lines of Al Capone. I call reparations rapinations. Now, if they want someone to sue, they must start with the families of the African tribal leaders who sold their own people into slavery in the first place. Capiche? In other words, there were African tribal leaders who were the original slave traders, and the original slave traders they worked with were Arabians. The Muslims conquered various regions of Africa, became slave traders, worked with African tribal leaders who sold Africans into slavery. So I would say if you want rapinations, go to Arabia, go to Kuwait, go to the nations in the Middle East and demand reparations. See how far you get with it. See if they'll take your garbage. See how they'll deal with your garbage demands that you can only hear on MSNBC. It makes as much sense to demand reparations from people who had no connection to the slave trade going back six generations. No sense whatsoever. Now, where does the search for rapinations end? Can the French sue the Italians for Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? Can the Celtic peoples of Britain sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Angles and the Saxons? Can the tribes of central Mexico sue the descendants of the Aztecs for the tens of thousands of murder victims at the hands of Aztec priests? Where does this search for free handouts in the guise of equality and fairness and reparations end? When you hear the word reparations, what you're hearing is a criminal gangster movement trying to pull off an international shakedown on a worldwide scale. And the people looking for reparations should be arrested as the gangsters and grifters and con men that they present themselves to be. Do you believe Britain should pay reparations to descendants of slaves in Jamaica? Do you believe America owes reparations? Now, even though you never owned a slave, your father never owned a slave, your grandfather never owned a slave, there are those in this country, the communist left, that would like to see a race war, a civil war, by triggering reparations. And that's why you're hearing inequality, fairness, every day of your life under Obama, You're being fed the garbage about inequality when we have the first black president, the first black attorney general, a large swath of the federal government run by African people, and yet we keep hearing the same old Animal Farm lie that there's an oppression and a racism. It's going to move to reparations as sure as I'm sitting here, because that's Obama's next card in his deck, is the reparation racket. So where do you stand on the Rape a Nation? The phone number on the Savage Nation today is 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I realize it's hard for you to talk about this topic because you haven't heard it on any other show yet. I tend to do topics that interest me, not those that interest other talk show hosts. I want you to go to the top of michaelsavage.com, and it says, Behenna's family relieved after inconceivable ordeal. Falsely accused Army Ranger to be paroled. And that was a big show on Friday. I was the only talk show host in America that went to bat for him that I know of. I mean, maybe others did. I don't know anything about any other host or what they may have done. God bless them if they did, but I doubt it. I think those who have talent on loan from God are only interested in Gulf Streams rather than in Army Rangers who were falsely accused and imprisoned in Fort Leavenworth. But I'm telling you that that's a big story. The mother thanked all of you for your great support for Michael. He's not out yet of the woods. He was paroled from a sentence for killing an Al-Qaeda terrorist. And here we are, 855-407-282. We then have the climate change gangsters, the criminal element like John Kerry, who is pushing the big lie of climate change and daring to say that anyone who says the science doesn't support it is a new Flat Earth Society member. Now, the first rule of science is that there are no absolutes in science. That's something that Mr. Kerry probably didn't learn at the ketchup farm. There are no absolutes in science. Science is a constantly emerging field. Any field of science is constantly emerging, and it's open to new evidence. Because legitimate climate scientists are slamming the lies of Obama, Obama's false science czar, Kerry's insulting pseudoscientific rambling on global warming.
Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
We're living in very, very seriously twisted times, and people are having nightmares over this president. You see, it's not that we have a liberal president. That would be bad enough. But we don't just have a liberal president. We have a radical president. Radical is a code word for something quite worrisome. Nothing that he does seems to be in the interests of America. That's what 30 million Americans fear. Everybody that I know, and it's not a lot of people who are conservative and in the media, and there's maybe two, three people I speak to in the media who are conservative, they're very, very, very worn out from the battle. You don't want to know this, but I got to tell you, it's wearing on a lot of people. I'm lucky because I'm resilient and I have other methods of coming back from stress. And I hope I can keep bouncing back from it. But these communist Marxists are relentless. There's an army of them everywhere. They run the media, they run the government, they run the academia, and they're relentless. They're fanatic, and they want only one end. There's only one end that they have in mind, and they must be stopped at all costs. It's shocking that the country has fallen this far, but it has. And we are talking about what to do about it on the Savage Nation. Now, if I were wrong about my feelings, I wouldn't be on the air. I would have been thrown off a long time ago. Every country in the world wants limits on immigration. There's not a country on earth that says we want more immigrants. Not one. Not one. The only people who want the immigrants are the radical leftist Democrats, whose very careers depend upon the illegal vote. That's how they get elected. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. What's this about bullying? I don't understand this. Why are we reading about this garbage every day? The people who are most talking about bullying are the biggest bullies in the country. They're trying to bully us into their way of life. That's all. What do I care about a football player bullying another person? I was bullied my entire childhood. So what? It made me stronger. I don't understand this. Where'd this come from? You can't take criticism all of a sudden. What are we made of? Some kind of butter that we can't take criticism? I'll never forget the day I got hit in the head with an ice ball. To this day, I can remember seeing the stars that hit me. Those kids were mean. They put ice in the middle of a snowball, and out of the blue on a sunny day in the Bronx, I'll never forget it as long as I live, and it was many decades ago, a snowball came flying at my head and struck me right. And I saw stars because it wasn't a snowball, it was an ice ball. Nice kids in the Bronx in those days. Many of the kids on the block wound up in the electric chair years later. Yeah, nice kids. Talk about bullying. So what? What are you going to do? It's life. It's life. What's with the bullying nonsense? What's this nonsense all of a sudden? It's part of the human condition, putting the other guy down. That's how people live. What world do these people want to live in? A world that doesn't exist. A world of false equality. False equality. Remember my adage? Without quality, there can be no equality. That's the biggest thing that's forgotten. You know what I have in my hand? When it's all over and I'm at the end of the road. Remember we heard that Martin Luther King's children were fighting over his personal Bible and his Nobel Peace Prize, a medallion that the kids wanted to sell it off for a fortune? I thought my Bible, my Holy Scriptures, with maybe 1,000 post-its in it with my notes, would be a great thing to auction off at the end of the road for charity. Well, I'm not ready to auction it off yet. But in my hand, I have the Holy Scriptures according to the Masoretic text, which is known as the Old Testament to Christians who see their Bible as the New Testament. I just call it the Bible. And I have so many post-its that at any time I could flip to any one of them and come up with something appropriate for the news of the day. So I was saying to myself, what would the proper quote from the Bible be for a day like today? I mean, there's so many topics. Well, what do you mean? What are you referring to? I turned to 1 Kings, a still small voice, because we've all heard the phrase, a still small voice. And today in America, most of us have been taught to be afraid of our still small voice. We drug it. We drown it out with music. We drown it out with too much food. We drown it out by running. We drown it out by shouting. But do we ever listen to our still small voice, I ask myself? And yet very few of us know where that came from. And it came from the Bible, a still small voice. It's not from Sigmund Freud. Even liberal humanists say, well, I always listen to the still small voice, at least I used to. But it's a biblical statement from 1 Kings where there was a cave and there was Elijah in the cave. And the voice says to him, what are you doing in the cave? And it goes on and on. And there was wind and there was a storm and then there was an earthquake. And he kept looking for God and there was no God. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. And then it says, but after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for God, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away. And God said to him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Aram, and so forth and so on. It goes on with the whole story of the Bible of Elijah in the cave. But the point is, the words, a still small voice, that are used even in our current vernacular, is what came to mind. And I wonder if that's appropriate in any way. Who knows? So if you look back on the history of the Savage Nation over the many years I've been on the air, have we had any victories or successes? I'll name two or three and then I'll move on. We stopped the Dubai port deal single-handedly. I was the loudest voice in America objecting to it. George Bush wanted to turn over our port security to 10 of the most important ports in America to a company run out of Dubai. Dubai wanted to turn it over to Dubai, and I said no. And strangely enough, even Charles Schumer joined me in this. Came on the show, because as I said to you, politics makes strange bedfellows. It made good sense. Who in their right mind would turn over security of our ports to management in Dubai other than Dubya? Okay, so we had that victory. We stopped Harriet Myers from being appointed to the Supreme Court because she was sort of a nonentity. I'm almost sorry we did so because who did they put on instead? Wasn't it Roberts or something like that? Look what that led us to. Good God. So, you know, you don't know what victories lead to. You have to look things. You have to look at things in the entire scope of a long sequence of time, as Huxley wrote. Life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. So you don't really know what the tally is going to be. You know. Anyway, I don't want to do a self-serving deal here. It'll start to sound like a steakhouse photo op, and I'm not going to do it. I'm too far into this to care about that at this point. Here's the headline. Earwax may reveal clues about a person's identity and habits. It turns out clues about a person's identity and ethnicity can come from a surprising source, earwax. Researchers from the Monell Chemical Census Center in Philadelphia analyzed earwax as a source of information based on previous studies in which researchers analyzed underarm odor to unlock clues about a person's identity. And they said this. This is an organic chemist said in the press release, our previous research has shown that underarm odors can convey a great deal of information about an individual, including personal identity, gender, sexual orientation, and health status. He went on to say, we think it possible that earwax may contain similar information. So they studied 16 men. Eight of the men were Caucasian, while the remainder of the men were of East Asian descent. That's a code word for summer. I don't know what East Asian means anymore. Anyway, they tested the men's earwax samples. And then they heated the earwax samples to prompt them to produce odorous, volatile, organic compounds. And all of the men's earwax samples tested positive for VOCs. It's going to be the latest ad now on television. Are you emitting VOCs? Caucasian men had greater amounts of 11 out of the 12 VOCs tested compared to the men of East Asian origin. So what does that mean? Well, I don't know what it means. It says, in essence, we could obtain information about a person's ethnicity simply by looking in his ears. While the types of odorants were similar, the amounts were very different. And it said that earwax may be a source of even more clues about a person's identity and habits. Here's the bottom line. She said, odors in earwax may be able to tell us what a person has eaten and where they have been. And here's the punchline. Earwax is a neglected body secretion. This is already bordering on the absurd. Earwax is a neglected body secretion whose potential as an information source has yet to be explored. And here's an email from the gentleman who runs TalkStream Live. And it says, tell Michael Savage hello and congrats. He sent it to Joe Farah on his terrific streaming results in 2013. Both Savage and Rush topped the TSL rankings two quarters each. Savage is the only talk show host to ever top Rush, although Rush narrowly edged Michael in the year-long cumulative outcome. Michael made it a very competitive contest and secured a solid second-place finish. BTW, Savage has solidly and significantly bested Wallbanger head-to-head daily on TSL. Tell Michael thanks for his on-air mentions of TalkStream Live in the TSL ranking reports. Tom. Well, I didn't rig it. I mean, it is what it is. So there are people who like the show. That's all. That's all that matters is that I get the strength to do it every day. And some days I don't think I can do it. Some days I can't wait to do it. The beauty of talk radio is it's a long process, and you have to see it as a lengthy process, almost a process without end. One in four Americans unaware that Earth circles sun. Now you understand why we have the politicians we have. One in four Americans do not know that the Earth goes around the sun, but they have the right to vote themselves tax increases. And now you understand how demagogues can simply say that there's inequality while hanging around with the 1%. They did a survey. The NSF did it, the National Science Foundation. And only three-quarters of respondents knew that the Earth revolved around the sun. Did you hear this? One-fourth of Americans do not know that the Earth goes around the sun. But they know that the 1% steal from them. They know that there's inequality. And they know that Mayor de Blasio knows how to move snow around New York City. All right, the study on earwax revealing clues about a person's identity and habits, including their sexual orientation, was funded by the Monell Chemical Census Center in Philadelphia to analyze earwax. And it says that earwax, as a bodily secretion, has a potential to be an information source to tell us what a person has eaten and where they have been, and more than that, clues about a person's identity and habits. I mean, I have heard about pheromones for years. You know what those are, right? Like when a man sweats after exercise, he gives off pheromones, and they're said to drive women crazy. So I'm not suggesting that men give up showering after going to the gym, but you know, you don't want to smell like, what shall I say? I don't like cologne myself. I can't be around it. It gets me ill. I don't think women like cologne on men. So now this is interesting, the earwax thing. Does that mean earwax is now a sexual attractant? Is that what this is suggesting? So some perfume company is going to what? Now go to a guy's earwax and devise a perfume out of it? I don't get this anymore. They're trying to, like, rig everything according to the animal. Or who knows? I don't even want to think about it. It can tell what you ate by your earwax. Well, okay, it could open up a whole line of jokes that are bad. They'd be all bad jokes. So let's move on to something less important. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
There are gangsters leading calls for Britain and Holland to pay slavery reparations. I've heard it here in America from the usual suspects. It's going to come up here in America very soon because Obama's playing every dirty card he can deal from under the deck. Any dirty card he can pull out from underneath the felt, he's going to pull out. And the next one's going to be the reparations card. Well, here are the news headlines for today's show, Monday, February 17, 2014. Listen to me. It's unbelievable. Did you miss this sound? John Kerry, the questionable John Kerry, who we call Lurch, said anyone who denies, well, he's a warmist. Because there's a lot of money at stake with the global warming racket. And he says anyone who questions it is a flat earth member. He said there's no science against this big lie, which is absolutely absurd, since there are at least several hundred legitimate scientists who question the whole premise of this global warming nonsense. But that doesn't stop this demagogue, John Kerry, from calling those who oppose, or let us say even question this nonsense, as flat earth members. It's unbelievable to me. Then Obama came out to California to give away money, including a lot of money to illegal aliens. You don't know that. Part of this drought nonsense was to give out tens of millions of dollars in benefits to illegal aliens who he said are being affected by the drought because they can't have jobs. Then some character who I never heard of interviewed Barack Obama, where he talked about same sex, basketball, and helping only blacks. I'm not making it up. He said he wants to help only blacks, which is a form of reparations, which I affectionately call reparations. You see, the reason reparations are coming up is because the nation of Jamaica is calling for Britain to pay slavery reparations. You can't escape it. Everywhere you turn, every headline has race in it now. Why? Because of Obama, who got where he is through racial enmity, through Eric Holder, who got where he is through racial enmity. So that's why they talk about race. Now, reparations are just another tool of socialism to take money away from the middle class and give it to the poor, so to speak, but they're not going to get it. The money will go through middlemen who steal most of it. So this is the story right now. How many of you listening to this show were directly involved in slavery? None. How many blacks listening to the show were a slave? Thank God, none. How many whites listening to the show held slaves? None. So why should everyone be on the hook to pay for this? This is insane. Do you understand how insane the idea of reparations are? It's the greatest racket in history. But let me give it to you another way. If you want reparations, why not start with the Saudi Arabians, who were descendants of the Arabs, who invaded Africa, conquered Africa, and became the slave traders? Doesn't it make as much sense as going after white people who have no connection to the slave trade? Huh? I say go to the Arabian Peninsula and have them pay reparations, since they were the slave traders. Or, does that not work for you? How about start with the families of the African tribal leaders who sold their own people into slavery in the first place? That's right, Jesse. Start with the African tribal leaders who sold their own people into slavery in the first place. Does that work for you? Can the Celtic peoples of Britain sue the Dutch for the invasions of the Angles and Saxons? Can the French sue the Italians for Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? Can the Chinese and Poles sue the Mongolians for Genghis Khan's onslaught? Can the smaller tribes of central Mexico sue the descendants of the Aztecs for the tens of thousands of murder victims at the hands of Aztec priests? Where does this demand for free handouts under the guise of equality and reparations end? All reparations is a shakedown by Al Capone, and the people looking for reparations should be treated like the grifters and con artists they are. I'm Michael Savage, and that's all I have to say on the subject of reparations.
Savage.